אז פרשת ואתחנן היא מתחילה בדברים פרק ג'
פסוק the portion ואתחנן
פסוק י' א'
from
התקציר הפרשה
Deuteronomy 3:23 to Deuteronomy 7:11 פרשת the portion ואתחנן repeats the prohibition on Moses to enter the land of Israel and Yoshua bin Nun continues his path and leads the nation the people to the land of Israel. The portion discusses the commandment to keep the Torah and remember the event at Mount Sinai and the concept of repentance that appears for the first time. This is the portion of Shema Yisrael that is well known. Moses opens with an additional speech where he repeats the Ten Commandments. He distinguishes three sanctuary cities on the west side of the Jordan River, on the east side, I'm sorry, of the Jordan River. He alerts people about idol worshiping in the land of Israel and instructs them to destruct them. And also he reminds people that the Creator is the one who brought them to Israel, to the good land they're about to inherit.
Meaning the main thing that Moses tells the people of Israel here is it says, ואתחנן, to beg, that he really asked the Creator to enter the land of Israel, but he wasn't permitted, and to the contrary, you climb the mountain, see the land of Israel, and this is how the business ends. Meaning, the one that continues with the people of Israel is already Yoshua, Joshua, meaning the next degree. That Moses is meant only in order to exit Egypt and to receive the Torah and to go through the desert. He's meant only for that. And Yoshua, he follows him. Moses also tells the people that there will be serious problems. Even though that they had a strong ascent now as they came out of Egypt, and it is a process that didn't happen and will not happen in any other way to no one else, but only in this generation, the generation that came out of Egypt. But he says that there will come such degrees, such states, that they will descend, that they will fall, that there will be big problems. He doesn't hide it from them. And that the nation will move away from the Creator and will even be related to idolatry. And even though that they will enter the land of Israel later, the Creator will disperse them throughout the different, in the diaspora. And even though that He disperses them because they left the Creator, precisely there in the diaspora, they will look for Him, and then He will bring them back to keep the Torah and the mitzvot, meaning the correction of the nation, the correction of their connection, and for them to reorganize or rebuild the Kli properly. And he explains the inner content of the Ten Commandments because it's a matter of unity. As it says, Shema Yisrael, which is the essence of the entire Kli. Also, we talked a bit about it in the morning, that it's the matter of uniting everyone with God. So, let's read the portion.
We're going to read from the writings of Rabash, the agenda of the assembly. Our sages wrote, Rabbi Shamlai said, one should always praise the Creator and then pray. Where did we get that? From Moses, as it is written, "And I besought the Lord at that time." It is also written, "O Lord God, thou hast begun." And it is written, "Let me go over, I pray thee, and see the good land." And the reason we need to begin with praising the Creator is that it is natural that there are two conditions when one asks for something of another. One, that he has what I ask of him, such as wealth, power, and repute as being wealthy and affluent. Two, that he will have a kind heart, meaning a desire to do good to others. From such a person, you can ask a favor. This is why they said one should always praise the Creator and then pray. This means that after one believes in the greatness of the Creator, that he has all sorts of pleasures to give to the creatures, and he wishes to do good, then it is pertinent to say that he is praying to the Creator, who will certainly help him, since he wishes to bestow. And then the Creator can give him what he wishes. Then also the prayer can be confident that the Creator will grant it.
Okay. So, there are several conditions that we learn about in regard to how we have to prepare the request, that then we understand that we can get an answer, a response from the Creator, that if we're sure that if we have a request, then we will get an answer. And this request, it has to be correctly organized, meaning there has to be a well-organized kli. A kli is a 10, a desire for all of us to at least be as one man and one heart. And then this way we can turn to him and receive. On part of the upper, there are no preventions. It's all up to us. And here we have to understand that in order for us to have a mutual correct kli, only then can we ask from above. Everything is a request, and every request is to turn as much as possible through our kli being the 10. And then we'll really be able to do it very quickly. But again, only in the way that the wisdom of Kabbalah tells us about, that we'll start reading out pretty words that are written in the prayer book, in the Siddur, it won't help us. What will help us is to open our heart as much as we can, to connect our heart as much as we can, to turn to the center of the 10, to the Creator, even if it seems to us that He exists, He doesn't exist, but these efforts, they bring us to a perception, to a feeling. What?
So, to arrange his praise, that's also a request?
Without arranging his praise, you can't turn to him. There's no one to turn to because you're not sure that he has.
So, to praise the Creator, it means that to pray to have greatness?
No, to arrange the praise, it means that you talk to the friends and you're inspired with them about how much they tell you how great the Creator is. He writes about it, Rabash. We read it many times. Give it quickly. Women can ask too, but to the point and short.
I want to ask, when a person already has the greatness of the Creator, his demand, his request changes completely, because maybe that's the state the Creator wants him to have. Since the greatness of the Creator cancels the desire to change anything. That's the desire of the Creator. So what is there to argue? What is there to pray for?
Nothing to argue about. There can be no prayer without enlarging the Creator in my eyes to some extent, otherwise I don't turn to Him.
Yeah, but once I have the greatness of the Creator,
in order to turn to Him, so I turn to Him and I ask for what I need.
But what I need is the greatness of the Creator.
No,
because when
no.
I have the greatness,
and no, in this case, the greatness of the Creator is only in order to turn to Him. But what I ask for isn't the greatness of the Creator. I'm asking to the point for Him to make a kli, because I have to act in the kli. The greatness of the Creator can only hide everything from me. That's it. Yeah.
So what do we need to learn from this? That even Moses didn't get what he asked for. He didn't. He besought the Creator. He didn't get.
When you'll reach Moses' degree, it'll satisfy you. You'll die on Mount Nebo, but it's going to be okay.
What is Moshe? Moses.
The eyes of the nation. The force of the collective that, in short, he connects, he mediates between them and the Creator.
Moshe, is it something in the tent?
It's what you build in the tent. Your common desire, your mutual desire that you form it, depict it, for it to be as similar to the Creator as possible. This means to Moses. Let's go.
Excerpt number 2 from Rabash.
You
shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish from it, that you may keep the commandment of the Lord your God which I command you. And we should interpret it regarding the two lines. It means that it is forbidden to add on the right path. Instead, a person who wants to walk on the path of truth must dedicate a certain amount of time to the right path, and then he must walk on the left line. It is in this regard that the commandment not to add comes, on one way more than on the other, nor take away from the lines. That is, one should not say, today I want to walk on the right line, or to the contrary, today I want to walk on the left line. It is about this that the commandment, do not add and do not take away, comes. Rather, as our sages said, one should always establish the praise of the Creator and then pray. The right path is called wholeness. At that time, a person can be very grateful to the Creator. Afterward, he must shift to the left line. On the left path is the time to see his real state, as it seems to him within reason. Then he has room to pray, since prayer pertains precisely to a place of a lack, and the greater the lack, the more heartfelt is the prayer.
So here comes the question. What does it mean to beg before us? Moses, he's like the representative of the nation. How do we build the concept of Moses so it will come by way of Va'etchanan, and I beg and I pray? That's a question for a workshop. How do we connect between us in order to create this concept of a prayer, of begging,
exactly,
of Va'etchanan?
That's exactly what we discussed at the beginning of the lesson, that we have to collect all of our despairs to one cry.
You can also include praise in it. First of all, praise, and then request. But all in all, Va'etchanan.
we all carry this huge load of greatness and the greatness of the path and total frustration. And if we would be able to combine the two, we would be in the end of correction plus two. We just need to somehow include both in our load, in our baggage.
And to ask for this connection all the time, that's the matter of connection. What exactly do we have to connect? What we have to connect are the points in the heart, all the praise, or the greatness, all of our inclinations towards bestowal, and on the other hand, also the oviyut, and the despair, and the rejection, and the ego. It has to be a combined sandwich. And pardon me for the following, but if you connect all the letters from A, from Aleph to Taf, from beginning to end, then he, so to speak, pardons us.
Each one comes with his point, with his Moses. The rest of the world to receive wants to actually destroy it. Something on the path here we have to integrate among one another to strengthen this general Moses.
I also don't exactly know, but maybe it's a condition where we are in annulment in the center of the ten, and everyone's praying, and we use Moses' force in order to pull us from our state in this world to the next state, the next world. And in that, we have to beg, we have to pray, we have to do it together.
It's written that each one needs to yearn to be as Moshe, as Moses. What is that role of Moshe that I have to fill myself in that role as Moshe, Moses? According to this portion, Vayetchanan, and I besought, I beseeched.
We have to feel that the entire ten depends on me in order to reach connection to the upper force, that general, conclusive, comprehensive force that consists of all the prayers of everyone, which the force of bestowal can be revealed in us, the little ones, and everyone has to feel that it's up to him, feel like Moses.
I need to awaken in you a desire to turn to the Creator to connect us.
To pray, to be in the center of the group, to be annulled, to be a transition, to pray for the light to pass from me to the Creator and from the, in short, for everyone.
This is our central point. It dictates everything. It needs to lead and turn the will to receive of men to turn to follow it.
To identify with the desire that exists in a person, that he wants to bestow, he wants to become like the Creator, he wants to connect the friends, so to kind of try and touch that inside us all the time and develop that point inside us until it includes all of our desires.
Yeah, each one has to give up on himself and bestow to others with all his heart and all his strength. This is the role of Moshe in ourselves.
Moses is the point of connection between us and the ten. Questions about what we talked about? About this? No. I know you. I have a question about this. So, be it. Let's continue then.
We are reading excerpt number 3 from Zolam Vayetchanan. But it's written, "But you that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day." It's also written, "Happy is the people whose faith is such, happy is the people whose creator is his God. Happy people that the Creator chose, having separated from all the idolater nations, and lifted them into His inheritance and gave them His blessing with the blessing of His name. It is said, for they are the seed that the Creator blessed. Blessed by the Creator, exactly, the blessing of His name. The Creator gave all the other nations of the world to the ministers or rulers whom He set to rule over them. And Israel made the Creator His fate and inheritance in order to achieve proper unity with their help. And He gave them the Holy Torah in order to unite with His name. And therefore, you are merged. It's written, you are merged with the Creator and not with another ruler like the rest of the nations.
The world is a small man, an Adam Katan, or Adam, man, is a small world, that the entire world is included in man. This is what we learn from perception of reality, that what I see, what I feel, are the parts of my soul, only that they're spread out in front of me in order for it to be easier for me to understand how to work with myself, how to correct myself. Therefore, all in all, our work is to connect all the parts of reality, which connects more and more through the ten, accumulates more and more until it really becomes as one man and one heart. And this is called the blessing of the Creator, meaning to the extent to which we receive the strength from above to connect the ten, accordingly we realize the blessing of the Creator. And this is the blessing that you get. So, there are the Kohens, the Levites, the different ministers, the this, the that, the different managers of the tens, the thousands, the hundreds, all we learn about from the Torah, about the different circles in which eventually we gradually reach connection. So, in each and every circle, we need to see the measure to which we add and add adhesion to the Creator, that He becomes more and more revealed in Neran Chai of Neran Chai of Neran Chai. And that's how it goes.
Excerpt number 4 from Maor Vashemesh Etchanan.
You can read what it says about it in the Torah, both in item 3 and also in item 4, that you that adhere to the Creator, it was in Vayetchanan Daled, and Vayetchanan Yutet,
and lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, thou be drawn away and worship them, and serve them which the Lord thy God has allotted unto all the peoples under the whole heaven.
And what does Maor and Shemesh write about it?
It is said, and so that you do not raise your eyes to the heavens, and when you see the sun and moon and stars, all the host of heaven, meaning the system, and you would worship them and serve them, meaning you would think that you are under the power of the system and are subjected to their influence, with which the Creator, your Almighty, endowed all the nations in all of heaven. This means that what the Creator endowed, meaning the nations are endowed with their allotments, and they obey the constellations and the system. And the Creator took you and brought you out of the crucible of iron from Egypt, meaning He broke the iron chains into which the Egyptians chained Israel under the rule of the celestial system and the Sitra Acha. It turns out that you are above the heavenly system and you are able to change it to be His people, His destiny, as it is today. And you are the divine part from above.
meaning that we who are called Israel, Lirosh, we can be at the top, and it's really so, because we have a spark, we have the root of being the Rosh, the head of the entire system of creation, then all the worlds, all the systems are beneath us. And to the extent to which we identify with the Creator, then accordingly we manage all the order and the fulfillment of the worlds. And therefore, this is our opportunity, this is our work. Eventually, how do we identify, or what we do identify with the Creator in? By taking the management over all of these actions and worlds into our hands. Questions? I have no questions. Maybe you read it again. Probably the excerpts you're choosing aren't exactly grasped.
From Vaitchanan. It's written, and lest thou lift up your eyes unto heaven, and you see the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, and you be drawn away and worship them, and serve them that which the Lord thy God has allotted unto all the people under the whole heaven. So, from Maor Vashemesh, portion Vaitchanan. It is written, and so that you do not raise your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun and moon and stars, all the hosts of heaven, meaning the system, and you would not worship them and serve them. Meaning that you would think that you are under the system and you're influenced by it.
First of all, in the meantime, that you're influenced by the entire system and what happens to your mind and heart and whatever you don't understand, but it controls you. This is who you are.
With which the Creator, your Almighty, endowed all the nations in all of heaven.
That you're like the rest of the nations, like all the parts of nature, you are controlled by it, by the system.
This means what the Creator endowed, meaning the nations are endowed with all their allotments and the constellations and the system. And the Creator took you and brought you out of the crucible of iron from Egypt, meaning He broke the iron chains into which the Egyptians chained Israel under the rule of the celestial system and the Sitra Acha.
For them to be like the Egyptians, under all of the forces of nature, and coming out of it, we ran away from all of this control.
It is found that it turns out that you are above the heavenly system and are able to change it.
Meaning not only to run away from it, but to control it.
To be His people, His destiny as it is today. And you are the divine part from above.
Meaning when we come out of the, from under the control of Egypt, from the control of nature, we connect to the Creator, and in our power of connection with the Creator, by it we control all of nature, and in that we rise above the stars and signs. Yes, Dodi.
To understand, when we are in control of the system, above the zodiac, the constellations,
since we're connected to the Creator and we become like a pipeline between the Creator and the system.
And then which system controls us?
Only the Creator. As it says, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the Creator is the Lord. He's our God, He's one.
The system itself of the constellation.
Under us, it's a system in which the entire general will to receive is integrated, called all the nations.
So what is the system of the constellations, the zodiac?
It's the system of governance of the Creator over the entire world to receive. And we are above this control. To the extent to which we acquire independence, Tzimtzum, Masach, and Or Chozer, we rise above this control. We take this control upon ourselves so that we choose it.
When the system is in your hands, what do you have to change in it?
To agree. Also, both in bestowing in order to bestow, and then in receiving in order to bestow. To bring all the desires under the influence of bestowal. It all passes through me. That I sacrifice these desires to, in order to bestow. For, in order to bestow.
No.
Yochai.
Teacher, I think this is connected to what we just read. Since we started dissemination and all those things, I see it more about myself and the friends, that it's really about myself also. This disease that you think you're doing good, but it's ultimately the same actions that make us feel good. It's all this love of fish that he, you know, as he, you know, sums up our life in a few lines. The question is not how to correct it. This is coming from the Creator. I'm talking about how to recognize that illness, what to do with it. There are friends who are sitting here years, and then think that there are certain good actions in this world. At least when it's bad, you see that's egoistic, but when it's a good deed, you don't notice that it's egoistic. Friends push you to do all those things. It's all under the same veneer of a good feeling. How to recognize it? Not what to do with it, how to recognize this shit.
I recommend a person to perform self-scrutiny only on himself and try to give others to influence them by way of example and only. Because you don't know in regard to what you see, what's true, what's not. Anyone who blames others does it because of his own flaws. So it's better to only see how can I straighten myself out in regard to our business, and for others, for them to just get to know the method.
That's it, how to recognize the illness. Recognition of evil, that's the hardest.
You can't do it instead of them.
No, I'm asking about me. Forget about them. They're not in the game. I'm asking about me. How to come to recognize this illness? I see it in myself.
Again and again, and try for it to penetrate a bit deeper and deeper in, and time again, it accumulates into a large sum, and it doesn't work by orders, like one of the friends tried to say. It doesn't work through pressure, through orders. It won't help. When I yell, you think that I think that this yelling will help. Maybe a bit, it'll permeate, but the next day it's going to be practically the same. It's like with babies at home.
My teacher, it's felt that the work is to recognize the evil. How do I recognize the evil? Why this is the thing that spins the whole world?
That we're not allowed to enter the good. By this, we come to know the bad.
So to accelerate it. How?
A day and another day. But it's not that this is how we continue. Not to agree to it, on the one hand. But on the other hand, to wait until it will accumulate. It's a matter of accumulation.
To recognize the evil?
Yes. We can't stand acknowledging it all at once.
But it's revealed itself so slowly. Why?
It depends on the efforts that you make. Try, that's it. The more you'll try to do good, the quicker you'll feel the bad. Good?
Nothing from you. From your experience.
Okay, so I'll tell you, just to aim yourself towards greater recognition of evil.
This.
But I can't do more than that because you won't be able to stand it. You have to do it bit by bit.
This is
Why? No. This is something that you have to uproot from yourself. No, someone else. I have here a few naggers. I'm not allowing them to ask. You have someone else? Go ahead. No. Okay. Let's continue then.
We're going to read excerpt number 5 from Etchanan, chapter 4, verse 6. Observe, therefore, and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people, that when they hear all these statutes, they shall say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Again, observe, and therefore, and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the eyes of the people, that when they hear all those statutes, they shall say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Number 5, reading from Rabash 2. What is, for it is your wisdom and understanding in the eyes of the nations in the work.
It's a very well-known excerpt. There are different interpretations and the literal meaning and the inner meaning. It's directed in different ways. How do we work with the nations of the world? Are we related? Are we unrelated to them? And so on. Excerpt number 5. It is written, so keep and do them, for it is your wisdom and your understanding in the eyes of the nations. We asked, what is the meaning of, for it is your wisdom and your understanding in the eyes of the nations? The writing says, keep and do them. We ask, what does keep and do them imply? According to the above said, that all the power we have against the arguments of the nations, who come with sensible arguments, that their way within reason is the path of truth, all we can reply to them is by way of faith above reason. Above reason means doing, since they're not given an answer within reason. When we answer not with reason, this is called doers of His word. This is the meaning of man and beast you save, O Lord. Our sages said, those who are as cunning in reason as men and pretend to be as beasts, that is, they go above reason as though they have no reason, and by this they defeat the nations of the world within them. Again, it is written, so keep and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in their eyes of the nations. We ask, what is the meaning of, for it is your wisdom and your understanding in the eyes of the nations? The writing says, keep and do them. We ask, what does keep and do them imply, according to the above said, that all the power we have against the arguments of the nations, who come with sensible arguments, that their way within reason is the path of truth?
These are the inner nations, our will to receive, that constantly have the complaint, what will happen, when will we get it, and so on, so forth. This is also with respect to the whole world, but that's the next step, really. Against the arguments of the nations who come with sensible arguments,
that their way within reason is the path of truth. All we can reply to them is by way of faith above reason.
Meaning they will not understand our answer, that we need to nevertheless try to continue.
Above reason means doing, since they're not given an answer within reason. When we answer not with reason, this is called doers of His word. This is the meaning of man and beast you save, O Lord. Our sages said, those who are as cunning in reason as men and pretend to be as beasts, that is, they go above reason as though they have no reason, and by this they defeat the nations of the world within them.
How can we imagine to ourselves that we are, that we behave in this way? That's the question. How can you explain to ourselves what it means to behave in faith above reason? We don't have that degree yet. Rather, how do we bow our heads, lower our heads, and do it as if we have the power of faith? Go ahead, a workshop.
That even though I don't see and don't understand and try to relate everything to none else besides Him, even though that I don't see, don't know, but I'm trying to relate reality to none else besides Him and what's felt in the world to receive, to think about the friends, for them to be able to hold on to none else besides Him too.
Maybe it's a state where we don't, though we feel connection between us above our nature. It's a result of a prayer of many and contact with the upper force. How does it feel? I don't know.
There's need for such importance in the work between us, not to agree with the nations inside of us, to create this kind of atmosphere where we disagree with what's going on inside us, like it is in religion. And then this push forward that the environment gives, that the Ten gives, that everyone, in that mutual work and participation between us,
each time try to take another step into the Ten, into the connection with the friends. Even practical steps, even when I don't want it, I act as if I want it, as if I have a deficiency, to try to awaken the hearts to greater connection artificially. Even if they see that it's artificial and they won't believe it, but they'll see the effort to awaken something.
To flow with the group and everything.
I think the emphasis here is on doing. He writes, above reason is called the discernment of doing. I think this is the point. We have to try in never-ending acting and give an example and understand that above reason means, first of all, that your animal, your beast is enslaved. Work with what you have. You have a beast. Play with it, awaken it, make it, bring it here to sit every lesson on time. Bring it to the meetings during the day. Work with the animal. Work with the beast. There are no answers, no excuses. First of all, in subjugation and in doing. And I think that to go and unite everything, that there's no us besides Him, that has to envelop us. But I feel like our work is in the known for myself. Who else? We have to remove the no us besides Him from the equation, because, you know, we're going to unite everything. Everything is the power of prayer. Everything is no us besides Him, and we do nothing. So if there's no one for me, then who is? I think this is the point.
Yeah. Above reason is something that we can see every moment in life. There's a method that we need to imply on us that we have to adhere to. There's Rav, there's the system, there's us, the will to receive, that's kicking and bustling, and it has different opinions about what to do, how to evolve, and so on. And above all that, we have to put our teacher and the method.
Everything is in this combination of Rav, group, books. Each one receives some difficulty in one of them, maybe in every all of them, but to connect all of them together and to flow in one stream, to for them to be unified and equalized and perfectly with Rav, the work with the Rav, the book, the group. This is the key to work above reason.
Like we said on the first part of the lesson, that specifically in the place of despair, of joy, everything is opposite to our understanding, to how we see things. Actually, what seems to us, where it seems to us that we have to go and add, that it's a linear advancement like we're familiar with and our will to receive, then here the work is completely the opposite. Here we have to help each other, to give each other the strength where we stumble upon this point of despair. This is where we can leap.
Excerpt number 6 from what is, for it is your wisdom and understanding in the eyes of the nations in the work, from Rabash 2. It is written, who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is wise and understanding nation? That is, the nations of the world too, once they have also been admitted into Kedusha, sanctity, as in with all your heart, with both your inclinations, when the evil inclination, which are the nations of the world, also enters the Kedusha, then they see that all the wisdom that Israel had was that they heard the statutes, which is an act, an action. Indeed, then they are a wise and understanding nation, for all their wisdom was not as we think, that we will obtain wisdom only with inquiries and intellect. On the contrary, they were rewarded with wisdom precisely by following him like a beast, meaning that precisely by doing, which is called working above reason, they were rewarded with wisdom. It follows that they are called a wise and understanding nation because they followed him like a beast and not with wisdom. This is all of the wisdom of the people of Israel.
Why is the wisdom of the nation of Israel called Bchinat Be'ema, the discernment of beast? Let's continue with the workshop.
Why the wisdom of the people of Israel is called a beast? Well, I don't know.
The head and the body are on the same level. I don't have a head. I don't have different smart ideas of my own. I don't have any excuses. I have nothing. I lower my head and I follow the herdsman. The Kabbalist that's guiding us, that writes, talks to us, explains. That's that.
I guess that's what Amit said.
Maybe because Israel had the freedom to choose to rise above reason, and if they don't do it, then they're stuck with their beastly mind, and then they're considered to be in a state of a behemah, of a beast, and only if they rise above that in faith above reason, they're called Adam.
Yeah,
specifically in this connection, you have to do work in order to be a beast. You have to cancel the desire to lead, to rule, to think, to know where we're going. The advancement is inside this fog where you stick to the herd as much as possible in the center with all the friends and the group. You close your eyes, you hold on to the friends, and you run forward.
Yeah, to be in Israel.
From the portion Vayetchanan, chapter 5, verse 14. And thou shalt remember that thou was a servant in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. From Rabash 2, what is the reason for which Israel were rewarded with the inheritance of the land in the work? According to the above, we should interpret what is written. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there. We should interpret that in the work. A person must remember that he had a descent before he came to an ascent, meaning that the Creator let him feel the bad in him. In other words, a person should believe that this feeling, that he is a slave among the Egyptians, namely that he has no permission to do anything for the sake of the Creator, but all that he does is only for the sake of the Egyptians within men, this comes from the Creator. Afterwards, he must remember that now that he is in a state of ascent and feels that he is somewhat close to Kedusha, he must remember that he should go forward. Therefore, now he must remember that as he was previously a slave, meaning that he was in a state of descent, now he also needs to find within him a lack. So he will need to go forward. Otherwise, he will have to be given a descent from above. Since without a need, a person cannot advance, and he must stay in the state he is in. Therefore, in order not to need to be given a descent, during the ascent, he must find within him a place of lack. This is the meaning of what is written, remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there.
How can we depict that the fact that we're not allowed to come closer to in order to bestow to the Creator comes from the Creator too? How can we envision, depict to ourselves that the one that doesn't allow us to come closer to the Creator is the Creator Himself?
Kadima.
אנחנו עובדים בינינו בעשירייה על ה...
We work between us in the ten on the quality of bestowal, this intention that we don't have naturally, and we try to have it, try to act in it, awaken it between us. Through that, we come to it, through this despair from the effort to come to it when you see that you have nothing except for this inner demand, this cry within. This is called the Creator.
It reminds me of the proverb about the guys climbing the Creator's mountain, that it's the Creator himself giving them a hard time to climb, and this develops their abilities, skills, strength to advance toward Him. But were it not for the Arvut between us, we can't continue climbing.
That's it. It's to strengthen the connections, check the saddles and all the reins, tighten the anchors, everything you can hold on to during this climb, and to constantly raise the goal that we need to conquer.
It's very easy to depict it. How to realize that this is a completely different story. In our nature, there is nothing that works in order to develop this kind of desire. In nature, there's only a desire and its fulfillment. We have to develop some kind of a different desire, small one, something.
It's written that everything is in the hands of heaven except for the fear of heaven. Maybe it can answer the question that there is truly one force in reality that rules over everything. There is no inhibition from a third party that doesn't let us bestow. It's all from him. We just need to bring the fear from him, and that he would not take away the power to continue the desire.
The more we try to connect, the more we smash into the wall of our heart. If we will be able to add into the equation that it's the Creator playing with us, that we're all the time connected to Him, where we're connected, where we're not connected, then all the work becomes a kind of adventure, a kind of flirt with the Creator. That we have to appreciate those places where we feel that there is some kind of a burdening, some kind of force that does not allow us to advance, because it's also He's playing with us.
First of all, there's naus besides him. All the powers come from him. And the will to receive, maybe it's the achoraim of his power, and it draws us to be nearer to him, to feel it, this coarseness and so on.
I myself, it's not something that I can discover, that I can feel, but this is what Rabash wrote, that it's the Creator standing behind all the enslavement in Egypt and everything. So I simply take the words of the Kabbalist, that I accept it as is and work with it above my own understanding.
It's not that he doesn't let us, he constantly lets us, but in our actions between us and the work towards quality bestowed between us, we constantly discover that we're not in it. But once we're in it, everything is open.
Mitoch Vaitchanan Vav Dalet Advav. Shema Israel, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem
Echad. Etchanan, chapter 6, verse 4 through 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart. From Degel Machane Ephraim, portion of Etchanan. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. It is written, the Lord is one, and Israel are one. Hence, they are adhere to the Creator, since it befits the one to cling to the one. And when is this? When Israel are bundled and attached together in complete unity. At that time, they are regarded as one. And the Creator is upon them, for He is one. But when their hearts divide and they are apart from one another, they cannot be adhered to the One, and the Creator is not on them. Rather, another God is on them. This is implied in the verse, and you who are adhered, meaning when you are adhered and united with each other, meaning, when you are all in one unity, you are alive, every one of you, when they are in unity, then it befits the one to cling to the one, and the one Creator is upon them.
It's actually the continuation of what we talked about before, where we have to actually fight, struggle with the Creator, that at times it's the Creator, at times it's Pharaoh, at times it's the serpent, at times it's the force of good. It's all the Creator that teaches us through these two discernments of the positive and negative. Everything is for the same goal. Therefore, the Creator is our God. The Creator is one. It seems like different forces, different intentions, different goals. If so, how do we interpret the concept of the Creator as one, the Creator? The Creator is our God, the Creator is one, and love the Creator thy God, and that a person has to relate to the good as the bad, and the bad as the good, and everything that we heard about these things. How do we correctly organize ourselves so that we'll reach loving the Creator, as it says, with your heart and soul and everything? That day and night, the day turns into night, and night into day, and it's all one. How do you turn the Pharaoh into the Creator, and that there's just one force of good that controls the entire world? Workshop.
We collect all the discernments in the tent.
Something new that we can add to our spiritual work from what we talked about today, yesterday. Try to find something new.
When we take all the gratitude and all the despair of all of us, but we are very precise. So that the despair is from the prayers, not from various actions or other things. Our prayers for connection, the despair from that, from this lack of success to connect it together in the ten.
I don't know, I don't have any innovations.
How do you turn Pharaoh to the Creator? Only that there's one good force rules the world. Try to find something new. In truth, everything comes from the Creator. The Pharaoh is also part of the Creator, because there's nothing besides him. He's good and who does good. Everything depends on our vessels. As much as we succeed in translating seemingly all these bad things, the confusions, the difficulties that the Creator placed before us purposefully and to confuse us, to think that this is Pharaoh, but it's all coming from him. So to see that it's one force operating in reality, and we pray and demand of him to appear as good and benevolent between us.
We want to make an effort in order to connect, whether we have the strength, we don't have the strength to do it, when we feel that we're in the right direction, when we don't feel it, that this game comes from the Creator, that it's right and left and this and that, and we build a kind of a middle line. And we have to hold each other up in this regard.
I don't know about anything new, but to increase the pace of the actions, do more for dissemination. I'm going to read letter 14 by Baal Sulam. Page 700 in page in the Hebrew book.
Boel Paro, אנחנו בפסקה השנייה. Boel Paro, וסוד השכינה הקדושה.
Come to Pharaoh. It is the holy divinity in disclosure. From the words, and let the hair of the woman's head go loose. As it is written in the Zohar, the thing is that to the extent that the children of Israel thought that Egypt were enslaving them and impeding them from worshipping the Creator, to that extent they truly were in the exile in Egypt. And the Redeemer's only work was to reveal to them that there was no other force involved here, that I am not a messenger, for there is no other force but Him. This was indeed the light of redemption, as explained in the Passover Haggadah, the story of Passover. This is what the Creator gave to Moses in the verse, "Come to Pharaoh," meaning unite the truth. For the entire approaching the king of Egypt is only to Pharaoh, to disclose the holy divinity. This is why he said, "For I have hardened his heart, that I may place these signs of mine within him." Since in spirituality there are no letters, as I have already elaborated on before, and all the multiplication in spirituality relies on the letters that are sucked from the materiality of this world, as in, "and creator of darkness." As there are no additions or novelties here, but the creation of darkness, which is a Merkava, a chariot, a structure that is suited to disclose that the light is good. It follows that the Creator itself, Himself, hardened His heart. Why? Because I need letters. And this is the meaning of, "that I may place these signs of mine within Him, and that you may tell, that you may know that I am the Lord." Explanation. Once the letters were accepted, meaning when you understand that I gave and troubled for you, as in, "Do not move from behind me, for you will thoroughly keep the Achoraim for me, for my name," then she will make her abundance and fill the letters, and the qualities will become Sfirot. Since before the filling, they are called qualities, and upon their fulfillment for the best, they are called Sfirot, sapphire, illuminating the world from one end to the other. This is the meaning of, "that you may tell." I need all that for the explanation, meaning, "and you shall know that I am the Lord, the Creator, and not a messenger." This is the meaning of the 50th gate, which cannot appear unless the 49 faces of pure and impure appear, one opposite the other, in which the righteous falls before the wicked.
Let's continue.
From excerpt number
9.
The root of the soul of Israel in heaven is the unity of the Creator. As it says, the Creator is our Almighty, the Creator is one. But to merge with this unity in this world is possible only with the help of "and love with all your heart and with all your soul, with your whole being." And then these words will be said in the text of Shema on your heart. And this is due to the cancellation or nullification before the Creator. And therefore the sages prescribe to give the soul to the One, because it is impossible to come to unity without sacrifice of the soul. And about it, it is said, "But with you I do not want anything on earth," to abolish all desires before Him. And then you can cling to your root in heaven, and this is the testimony of the sons of Israel. As it says, "It was given to you to see, to know."
Excerpt number 10, Zohar La'am. It is a commandment to love. The love of the Creator means that one should love Him with great love, as did Abraham, who loved the Creator with a great love and devoted his body and soul to Him. From this, we learn that one who loves the Creator keeps 10 utterances, 10 sfirot above and below. For this reason, all those 10 trials by which Abraham was tried and succeeded in all of them correspond to 10 utterances, because each trial is one utterance, one sefirah, an utterance by which he was tried and succeeded. For this reason, there are 10 trials opposite the 10 sefirot, and Abraham succeeded in all of them because he was tied and clung to the right of the Creator, which is called great love. Chesed de Zeranpin, it is called great love, because one who stands in this love is tied to the upper world, which is Zeranpin, an everlasting love in the lower world, Malchut, to which the love of the Creator is tied. Everything great love, everlasting love, are one without separation between them. The love transcends all the work in the world. With love, the Creator's name is glorified and blessed more than anything.
Next.
נמשיך מתוך ויתחנן זין, זין עד ח'.
ויתחנן 7-8. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all peoples, but because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He swore unto your fathers, has the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand out of Egypt. Excerpt number 11. Habash, what is, you will see my back, but not my face shall, but my face shall not be seen in the work. We can interpret what is written, the Lord did not see His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the least of all peoples. The verse says, I favor you, for you were the least of all peoples. In other words, specifically from the state where you feel that you are the least of all peoples, that all the desires of the nations of the world govern you, and the Israel in you does not merit a name, and you see the bad within you to its true extent, then you pray that I will help you. And since now you have a real need, since you feel how far you are from doing anything in order to bestow, then comes the right time to help you, since then you are asking for necessity and not for extras.
Again.
Rabash, what is, you will see my back, but my face shall not be seen in the work. We can interpret what is written. The Lord did not see His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the least of all peoples. The verse says, I favor you, for you were the least of all peoples. In other words, specifically from the state where you feel that you are the least of all peoples, that all the desires of the nations of the world govern you, and the Israel in you does not merit a name, and you see the bad within you to its true extent, then you pray that I will help you. And since now you have a real need, since you feel how far you are from doing anything in order to bestow, then comes the right time to help you, since then you're asking for necessity and not for extras.
Okay. This will be the last one, and then questions.
Excerpt number 12, Rabash, what is, you will see my back, but my face shall not be seen in the work. In a state of ascent, a person does not need the Creator to help him, except for extras. As it is written, the Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For then you do need more for necessity, since your state is more in number than any people, and you feel that you are governing the evil in you in the quality of the general public, which is the practice. So why did the Creator want you? It is precisely from the states where you are the least of all peoples. When the nations of the world govern the quality of Israel in you, and you cry out to me, help, with all your hearts, then I love you, and only then can I keep all that I promised the forefathers concerning the inheritance of the land. For now you have the kelim to receive my blessing, meaning vessels of bestowal. For when one has vessels of bestowal, he can receive the blessing from above.
It's clear when we need the Creator, when we feel bad, simply. That's how it is in all the degrees, even on the side of holiness, sanctity. Read it again, please.
Again, Rabash, excerpt number 12. In a state of ascent, a person does not need the Creator to help him, except for extras. As it is written, the Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for then you do not need me for necessities, since your state is more in number than any people, and you feel that you are governing the evil in you in the quality of the general public, which is the practice. So why did the Creator want you? It is precisely from the state where you are the least of peoples. When the nations of the world govern the quality of Israel in you, and you cry out to me, help, with all your hearts, then I love you, and only then can I keep all that I promised the forefathers concerning the inheritance of the land. For now you have the kelim, vessels to receive my blessing, meaning vessels of bestowal. For when one has vessels of bestowal, he can receive the blessing from above.
Questions? Nothing? Humus, what's up with you? You want something from the past?
The past, I think, it was excerpt number 3. Mm-hmm. I think he talks about work in the right line. It sounds kind of different what Bala Sulam writes there, that to limit the left to half an hour a day. And the Rabashi actually says to work with the left, to awaken the left. We learn not to awaken the left.
These are the two attitudes to the left. If you relate to the left in order to balance the right and reach the middle line, or you turn to the left as if it is the Creator but His backside. It's two forms of work. You're right. There is a difference. Here it's only half an hour, and there it can be a very lengthy work. Anything from the women?
I wanted to ask about the extras, and can we relate it to the morning lesson? There was a point in the morning lesson that you said that from above we're given all options are open. And here he says that when there are extras, there's already a kli that you can invert and work with it in order to bestow. So how do you face a chisaron that existed all throughout the lesson and really turn it into a vessel of bestowal?
You have an impulse to bestow?
This morning there was a feeling when I met despair eye to eye. Ari said, so much time has gone by and Ben Ishai did not come yet. And I felt the cleanness of the text, that it's really to ascend and that there's an opportunity. And for a Kabbalist to see that there's an opportunity, that the skies are open, then I thought that maybe this is the time for us, from the place of the essential need.
Yes. We lack nothing except for giving up the space between us to internally try to come close to one another. And of course there we will meet Pharaoh, and there we need to ask the Creator to cancel that space, that distance. Practically, this is the work. Ask, finally.
First of all, thank you very much for the lesson. How can we Sorry, didn't get the question. What's up to us in order to break the chains, like what we read about during the lesson? What do we have to do in order to break the chains? He wrote it in excerpt 4 that the people of Israel were chained and that you are above the system, above signs and so on.
Ask the Creator to break it and connect us correctly. What do you mean? But what is the question? We need to turn to one source, for the good and for the bad, and all the changes in us, outside of us. There's no problem. We have a path, we have a place, we have an understanding how to do it. The Kabbalists who are driving us, directing us, only to nag. It's a problem. A person alone is incapable. He also doesn't have the vessel for it, no deficiency. He has to feel the lack from the whole 10. Try to do it and then you succeed. Men, women, it doesn't matter. We'll try and we'll succeed. I hope yesterday we also went through a few discernments that were not simple, and we'll succeed. We'll come to a state of no choice. We have to discover the deficiency. We turn to Him only from that. If we turn to Him without a deficiency, then it's not a Creator. It's something you imagine. The Creator is something you need, that we need. What's happening next? What are you looking at me for? Of an Asher?
כמה
see how important is each and every portion. We will discover it yet. All the Kabbalists draw from there all the verses in order to explain it and how much the Torah only speaks about the inner work. You can't understand it in any other way. Is it history or in geography, or is it really the Torah, the instruction?